Welcome to Hello Chaos, the weekly podcast exploring the chaotic and messy lives and minds of founders, entrepreneurs, and innovators. Each week, I have the privilege to speak with founders across the spectrum, founders from different industries at various stages, from startups to mature businesses of all shapes and sizes. We get to hear the real, the raw, the unvarnished viewpoints and stories, getting incredible insights on what it takes to start and scale a business, to become a better founder, a better CEO, just a better business leader. Today, we have on our show, our guest is Erica Giugio. She is a franchise owner of Schooley Mitchell, started her own marketing agency, and has a patent in the cosmetic industry working towards a launch. So welcome, Erica. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the chaos. You're in it.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for having me.
Well, start out and just tell us what inspired to get into entrepreneurship, becoming a franchise owner, starting an agency, and then getting into kind of the cosmetic business of, can't even imagine. So what inspired all this?
All right. So when I was in school, that was unfortunately a long time ago now, but
I don't want to date myself, but it happens during this podcast, people.
But when I was in school, I was in urban planning, and at the time, this was towards like my final year. And I said to myself, what am I doing here? Like, what am I actually doing? I'm going to get into a job. I'm going to work for like a city or a municipality, and I'm going to make X amount of dollars per year. And there was something unsettling about that. And I wanted to do something more and bigger and greater. And I wanted more power. Yeah. Hence, I read my first book called Invent It, Bank It, Sell It by Lori Grenier, one of the ones from Shark Tank.
Yeah.
And she said the easiest thing to do is look around your house and find something that is a problem.
Ah.
And I said, okay. And she goes, that's how you're going to create business solutions. Hence, one day I was putting on makeup and I was washing them and I said, I just spent $90 on this makeup brush. What's going on here? Like, why did the wood, like the handle, detach from the metal piece in the middle? And then you put it back on. And then when you're applying, let's say, a blush, it kind of like wobbles a little bit because now like the glue gets undone. And I said to myself, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. And that was the very beginning of what I thought was going to be easy, but had a lot of challenges along the way.
Product development is like, yeah, it is so, I think, so much harder than a lot of people realize. Any kind of product development, whether you're in, you know, food, beverage, cosmetic, you know, packaging, like a hard, you know, tangible product. I mean, it is, we work in B2B a lot. So, you know, tires and cars. And I mean, it is very difficult no matter how small the brush or how, if it's a car, it's a lot more work that goes into it. What was your aha moments through that journey?
I would say my aha moments, because there was a lot of steps along the way, is just every time I hit a new milestone. So, for example, when I did the search and then I found out that I didn't have a lot of competition, I had a little bit of competition, I was like, perfect. I know that there's a market out there. So that means that someone had did market research prior. And then every time I would go back to the patent offices in Canada and the US, I get a little discouraged because they would say, listen, like, you're going to go back and forth a lot. But every time we would go back and forth, it just meant that they were looking at it. So that was, I would say,
that's a good insight.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Where are you in the process now? You've filed a patent, you have it issued. Now it's okay. I got to go to market. Is this where the agency came into play?
Yes. And actually, I went back to school again. Because this is where, and going back to your last question about the aha moment, I realized what am I doing? I don't know anything. There's so much to learn here. And I was 21. I had an urban planning background, went back to school, learned a whole bunch of things about marketing. And I figured if you're in that space, then you're going to start connecting with more and more people.
Yeah.
Hence, and then the pandemic came to top it all off. So that's when I started the agency and I started learning, okay, like this is how I'm really going to get this out to market. Yeah. And I failed a lot through that time. And I'm glad I failed on that side and not the patent side.
Yeah. Secure that. So what were the biggest like lessons learned of starting even the marketing agency I try not to say fail forward anymore, but I use that phrase, I think, for a decade as when I started my agency. Now I just go, no, it's just lessons. Like, it's just lessons learned. No more. Failure is not in my vocabulary anymore. I'm not going to put it in there. But I feel you. What were your biggest lessons?
Three things. Charge what you want to charge. Mm-hmm. And don't go for the cheapest and the very bottom line, because people will drive you crazy.
Yeah.
If you have a social media package that's $500 and you're just trying to get testimonials out there and, you know, start getting into the space, right. But that particular package for the value it's worth, everyone else is charging $15. The people that are going to end up coming to you are also small businesses. Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And startups. But when people are in startup mode, sometimes they micromanage.
Yes.
And you cannot scale when people micromanage. It is a disaster.
Yeah. I just wrote a post on this. I think I just posted it on LinkedIn and Facebook, whatever. It was everybody's a marketer until it's time to market. was my post. And, I mean, I've been in marketing for 30 years and it's, you know, you get in there, it's like they hired an agency and you're right. Small, no matter if you're a small business or you're a big business, they're all the same amount of time. And sometimes small businesses take way more time and energy. So when people are like, can I get a small business package? You know, thinking that it's a price, I'm like, actually our small business package sometimes is priced a little bit higher. Not every time, but you know, it's like, you're not going to save us time. Like it's not, you have to do a lot more handholding, a lot more education, and you do have less experienced people. And that was my post, was like the CEO's like, oh, my nephew, just got, you know, took a marketing class, or my daughter's in, you know, she does her own social. I think she should do mine. You know, you get all of that. And it's like, or our CFO just read a book on storytelling. And then you're sitting around a room with a lot of people with a lot of uninformed opinions. Or let's see, I did write one because we did have a client mention the other day of, you know, shouldn't we go and survey what your customers actually want and think before you make some decisions? Oh no, why would I want to do that? I'll just make the decision and then we'll survey afterwards and then I'll just manage the complaints from there. And now we're like, that's not how that's supposed to work. Anyway, sorry.
No. And
go on. What are some other? Yeah, those are really good lessons. But you're right. Of charge what you like. Know your value. Know your worth. We've heard that from so many founders. Of you know, price it. Like, make sure you know what's like. If you're going to do an hourly rate, know how to mathematically calculate that hourly rate that covers your overhead, your expenses. And so that you actually make money. And you've got to include some padding because, you know, if you charge a $50 hourly rate, but yet all your overhead is actually ends up being like $85 an hour, well, then you lose money every time you touch that client. The calculations, the math doesn't math. Is that?
Yes. This is where the girl math does not exist. Like it's, that's right. You got to do the actual math.
That's right. Must do the math. What were some of the other lessons learned?
I would say hire and fire fast.
Yeah. It's so hard.
It's hard. But I've learned within that things that I made mistakes in myself on what to look for, certain characteristics on what not to look for. What I've noticed, and even in myself, even when I've worked for people in the past, you'll see on resume, on like job postings, an entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. And we can't expect people to think like us at the rate that we're going to pay them.
Yeah.
They're not going to, you know, answer calls at 8 o'clock at night. And not that I expected that, but that was the first thing. I expected them to have like a goal and ambition and to go. And mm-hmm. I did not know how to channel that
right
with them. And how do we get them motivated? I say that's the first thing. Second thing I would do differently this time, because now there's a lot of marketers out there.
Yeah.
But instead of asking questions in an interview and saying like, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Like, let's go over your skills and portfolio. I'm going to pitch to them this time.
Ah.
And say, here's why you should work for me, and do it all in one shot. If they're interested, then they'll come back and then you have like a smaller interview. Yeah. But that's another piece. And then also in the hiring and firing stage, I would still try to create as much motivation as I could and, you know, kind of filter them out pretty quickly. But you got to give them a chance as well. But
yeah,
some people, I think within a month, you have to say.
Oh, within 30 days, you really do know. By 90 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
It should be those are lessons that we've all had to learn so well. Chandler's like, yeah, Jennifer. Chip chop. What do you feel like has been the most rewarding part of your journey?
I think the most rewarding for me is the fact that during the pandemic, I started a business when everything was just going to shits. Like everything around us is just going to shit. And just trying to keep your head above water. I think that's the first and I'd say biggest thing that I'm proud of. And I'd say the second thing is, you know, like how many people have patents at 21?
Yeah, that's impressive. How was that process, by the way? What did you have to do to, were you just at the library going, did you seek out resources in your community? How did you know even how to go through that process to put all the things together to submit the patent? What was that process like?
Okay. So this is a loaded question. So after I read Invent and Bank and Sell It, in the book, it said like, go get a patent lawyer. Like before you even like start creating everything, make sure you do like a search. Okay. So I did like a preliminary search on like Google patents and I found about 9, and the law office that I found 16. So they found 7 more than I did.
Okay.
And I just, you know, did an old fashioned like Google search, like top patent offices in Toronto. And they helped guide me in terms of what to do next. But what I would say was I had to file. And then I did the prototype. And then we would go back and forth between the law office and then the patent offices in the US to say like, hey, like make tweaks here because it's similar to this one. So that was just the beginning. Like that's nothing.
Just the going back and forth. How did you build your prototype? Did you have resources like in Toronto that you're like, oh, there's somebody like right down the street that can build these things for me.
So I went down to, it's called the DMZ, now called Toronto Metropolitan University, formerly called Ryerson. And they have a fantastic entrepreneurship center.
Nice.
Where they have like the 3D printing and you can do all that stuff. But my very first draft was in the garage using a solder gun. And apparently solder guns are just for electrical work, not to fuse things together.
You're like, I don't care. I did it.
Yes.
That's impressive. Yeah. Do you have to submit the actual prototype with the patent?
No.
Like with the paperwork? Or is it just the drawings?
Just the drawings.
Okay. Okay. And then where, so now where are you trying to find, okay, how do you then build it in mass? Like your manufacturer, how are you, where are you in that process?
So that's the next piece. Now I've gotten some advice and a lot of companies or a lot of investors, the manufacturers will create whatever you want as long as you have your mold. But you need money to go to these manufacturers.
Yep.
And a lot of people in the cosmetic space, when you get investors, they sometimes don't want to invest in your product because you're going to go and turn it around quick. Yeah. You're going to like create the patent, create a business out of it, and then you flip the business, because what ends up happening is sometimes things become a trend.
Right.
And then it dies out. So right now it's finding investors. It's the manufacturing. The next piece, now that I have the marketing piece, you still have to do the finance and everything else.
Right.
And to market it globally. But one thing I found to be helpful is all of these little entrepreneurship accelerators.
Yeah.
It's not about like the $10,000 that you get in the grants and everything else. It's the connections.
That's right.
And building it forward.
Yep. So,
yeah, that's the next piece, but everything kind of intertwines. And sometimes you don't know which piece of the Jenga to take out first. So that's the next stage.
You're in the chaos right now. You are completely in the chaos. Well, yes, if you haven't done an accelerator, do an accelerator, an incubator. I'm a coach for one in our community, and I sponsor another one in our community. So, we're highly involved in that. It is, it's so rewarding. I mean, for me as a coach, but also just to see people that come in there and, even with some of them are coming in with a post-it note of a scratch of an idea. And it's, you get so many resources that are just circling around you and wanting to support. And I think that's where you find in the entrepreneurial community. And I'm sure Erica, you've seen that too. Entrepreneurs want to help other entrepreneurs. It is a weird phenomenon. You don't see that as much like in the corporate business environment, unless you have like an entrepreneurial spirit, but it's like off the charts when it comes to entrepreneurs and innovators want to help other entrepreneurs and innovators. It is the most wonderful benefit of kind of entering into this ecosystem.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right about the corporate piece as well. Nobody's that motivated or I don't want to say wants you to move forward, because that's not the right way to say it, but you are a little bit in competition with each other. But when you're on the entrepreneurship side, that's your baby. That's your passion.
Right, right. And you'll find you'll have people that will give, they're so giving with their time. You know, you could send out, 100 emails to go, I just want to buy a cup of coffee. The people that will respond back are the entrepreneurs. Almost immediately and go, let's do it. Sure. Let's have that cup of coffee. That's what we've heard from a lot, but that's been my experience too. And I think it's just a wonderful mindset. to have.
Absolutely.
So what do you think has been the most challenging part of your journey? Was it starting the marketing agency? Was it the patent? And kind of you're in that middle of that chaos of like, how do I go to market with this product? Or is it you bought a franchise? Like, what, talk about that. Like, what's been the biggest challenge?
So I would say a challenge from the now from the marketing agency to Schooley Mitchell, the franchise.
Yeah.
What I've learned is also when you're starting a business from scratch, you have to create processes and systems in place.
Yep.
And sometimes it's better just to have a turnkey solution mm-hmm. where you can go in, those are done for you, and all you have to focus on is a few elements. So on that side, it's the accounting, it's sales, and just making connections and making sure that, of course, like at the end of the day, they're getting what you promised them.
Right.
So that's where I made that transition there. But I would say like the biggest challenge and why I've gone from like the patent to the marketing agency to now assist a business where it's turnkey is balance. And I've been so unbalanced for quite a long time.
Talk about that. What do you mean?
So you talked about entrepreneurship and mm-hmm. how we all come together. And there's a reason why we all come together. Sometimes it can be a lonely place. Like when I was 21, who's creating a patent at 21? Who's everyone's still partying? Everyone's like, right. you know, in the downtown core going to
like, Erica, come out. You're like, I've got to focus. I got a plan.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you got to find, it's like making new friends again. You got to find people that align with those particular goals. But when you're in that space, you're not working a 9-to-5 job anymore.
Right.
You're working 24/7. And what I learned throughout that whole process is you got to find balance. And I started doing some like biohacking elements to it. And then it really started to pick up and actually work.
What's biohacking? I don't think I've heard that term. Taylor's like, you haven't heard that term?
Crazy. So biohacking is basically, again, like systems and processes and habits that you create for yourself that allow you to work and be more productive without burning out. So you'll see like those people do like cold plunges and then they go in the sauna. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's
yours? What is your routine?
My routine is, so when I get up in the morning, I go for a walk and I do around like nothing crazy, just like 10,000 steps just to get some fresh air. I don't pick up the phone. Like if it's an emergency, like call 911, like that's it. And then I just sit down, I have a coffee, I write down what I want to achieve personally, professionally, and I get it done. And then what I'll do is I'll go to, let's say, like a sauna once a week. I don't do the cold plunges. That's too cold for me. I'm in Canada. Yeah. Cold is enough.
I can't do it. I'm a hot salt bath person once a week. That's it's my Sunday routine of – I got to do this, but I getting in the cold is just getting out of the tub. That's as much cold as I can do.
I'm with you.
I can't do it, but a sauna. Yeah. And are you doing like the wet sauna? Are you doing, I go once a week to a red light sauna. Is that what you do? I'm just curious.
The sauna I have has the red light and then they have a steam room with eucalyptus. So I go back and forth. Yeah, it's so dreamy. And then I started taking supplements from Bulletproof Labs and that really helped, especially for focus. So
What are you taking?
I'm taking lion's mane.
Ooh.
I take a lot.
Taylor's all interested in this. Okay. Lion's mane. I'm taking notes because I don't take pills. I do liquids, droplets, gummies, teas, powders. I'm not a pill taker. I don't do that very well, but I have been into a supplement game the last year, and juicing. That's been Chandler's laughing because I bring all these weird juices into the office. Yeah. So, okay. Lion's mane. Clearly I need it for focus.
By the way, I'm not good with pills either. I have to literally open them up and then I shoot them back with water.
Oh my goodness. I can't even do that. I would have to but if it comes in a liquid form, I'm all in that.
Vitamin D does.
Yes.
That and your omega-3s.
That's what I do. The vitamin D and the K3. I have that in liquid. I take that twice a day. It's my jam.
Nice.
And it doesn't taste bad. So, okay. So if what other routines do you do? I mean, that's wonderful. I aspire to be that way. I need to get in more daily rituals. I have more weekly rituals, but it's a 2025. I need to adopt. I try to adopt a habit every quarter. So this, my Q1, when I started at the end of the, I started early, at the end of the year, but it was to write every day, post every day on social media, which I feel like that was for someone that was doing it maybe once a week, and people were like, your voice needs to be heard. We're not hearing. And sometimes it'd be like, I think last year I might have posted on LinkedIn. When I say post, like actually creating content, not just reposting something else. But I might have written 6 times last year. But this year was I need to write every day and express myself and get my expertise out there. And I've done it like every day. I'm proud of myself for that. And a couple of years ago, one of my quarterly adoptions was similar to you. You said that you write like in the morning. I write every night before I go to bed. It's a de-stressor. I have in my notes journal. I answer 3 questions of what moment brought me joy, what moment. Or what anything that's in my head that's causing me anxiety, like anything that I'm anxious about. And then what am I most looking forward to? And just kind of answering those 3 have released a lot of. And then when I now go back and look at stuff, it's interesting of things that caused me angst 2 years ago. It's like, I don't even. So it's also just it's created more self-confidence and expanded my mindset very differently. So that was one of my quarterly adoptions of, I have this little like 6-4-1 theory for the year of adopt a new habit every quarter. So like I said, this quarter I'm thinking about what do I need to adopt for my next quarter? It might need to be walking every day. I need to do something daily, posting daily. I should do something daily. So I was like trying to think of what's going to be my next habit that I start adopting. Cause once you adopt it, like, and you do it for a whole quarter, they stick with you. Every habit that I've adopted over the last couple of years, they've become new habits and good habits to a routine. But that's kind of my, 4 adoptions of habits. The 6 is create 6 mini adventures in the year, trying to space them out like every other month, do something different with the kids or maybe something I've not done before, but just do 6 mini adventures, day trips, weekend trips, just real short. And then defined and have like 1 defining like epic thing for the year. So is that like a big family trip or like this year I'm working on a book. That's like my big epic thing for the year. Last year was a family trip. But yeah, trying to, what's going to be a redefining moment that sets the year. So when I look back and go, 2025 was X. That's my 641.
I'll join you on the big trip as long as you're paying.
Which, okay, so so if we met like a year from now, Erica, and I'm going to come up to Toronto because I've never been. It's on my bucket list to come visit. If I showed up next February, what would we be celebrating?
Oh, that's a great question. I'll be honest. If you come to Canada in February, you got to go to Quebec. Toronto's kind of dead like January, February. If you go to Quebec, they have like a huge festival called Bombe de Neige. And I'm probably not even saying the French words correctly, but it's like this huge festival with like ice castles and and you can get like your typical like Canadian staples, like your poutine, the maple syrup like rolled up on a stick.
So that needs to be an adventure I need to plan for.
I would say like if you did come to Toronto, you probably would want to go to Blue Mountain, which is like an hour away from here. Because they have skiing, they have like a whole, it's like a little, like a Switzerland village that they tried to replicate. But I would say there's, for February, it's a little, for activities, it's a little difficult. I'll be honest.
Well, okay. So what would we be celebrating you for?
We're going to
toast a celebration of some milestone. What is it?
Ooh, I would say that I hit 7 figures. On the Schooley Mitchell side.
Nice. Nice. We're going to manifest it. See, we're putting it out there.
And I want to, just like you, maybe I'm going to write it down today, but I do want to create a book as well. So maybe by then it'll be done. I don't know.
It might be. Yeah, we can do it. We'll celebrate that. Okay. So if you had to sum up your entrepreneurial journey in just one word, what would that word be?
I would say growth.
Growth.
And because entrepreneurship is, you never stop learning, you never stop growing. And once you stop growing, you're finished. Like just,
that's right. You have to have a growth mindset. I always say kind of, and Chandler's heard this 1,000 times, but it's my lesson that I try to tell all new entrepreneurs or anybody I coach. You have to get in a growth mindset, you've got to learn, unlearn, relearn, rinse and repeat. It is a continuous cycle. But a lot of times you have to unlearn things that you thought, oh, I thought that's the way it was done. No, you know, not in this industry. Or, so it's a lot of learning, unlearning, relearning, to really have that growth mindset. So I love that. That's great. And then if you had to look at the next chapter in your journey, what word would describe that chapter?
I'm going to say adaptable.
It's a good word.
And with all of this growth, you do have to be adaptable.
Yeah.
And through my entrepreneurial journey so far, I feel like I've gone through a really bad storm.
Yeah.
And not just me, but a lot of people.
It feels like it a lot of times, yeah.
And I would say post-pandemic or during the pandemic, it felt like you were in a stage 5 Hurricane Katrina. And now when I've gone through that experience, when I think about even what's to come, you know, there's a lot of politics going on right now about like tariffs between like Canada and the US, and it's
right.
And you have to, and this is going to be another, if it does go through, this is going to be another storm for both sides.
Yeah.
But what I feel now is, okay, I'm just like, all right, here we go. Here's another fire. So if you go in with that mindset of, you know what, I'm just going to focus on what I need to do and just move around that obstacle and be adaptable, then you're fine and you don't stress out as much.
That's right. Pivot. Yeah. You got to learn to pivot. Absolutely. Well, this was fantastic. I loved hearing your story. What's the best piece of advice you have received from people that have been around you, helping you through this journey? Anything that that you want to share with others?
Yes, it takes discipline to become an entrepreneur. You don't need any, I don't want to say real talent, but you can always hire those people out.
That's right.
And as long as you're doing the time for the crime, you will get there. And if you don't get there with that business, you'll get there with another business.
That's right.
And this is not, you know, going through university or college and you have to get like an 85. And once you get your a high GPA, like you're in this great job. When you're the C student that hires the A students.
Right. Oh, that's a good point. That's right. I love it. God, this was so good. I enjoyed the conversation, Erica. Before we go, where can people find more information about you or Schooley Mitchell about what you offer? Or where do you want them to find out? Like, how can they help you with your patent journey, your cosmetic beauty product?
So you guys can reach me on LinkedIn. So Erica Giugio. And my last name is a little difficult, but it's G-I-U-G-G-I-O. You can also reach me with my first name, last name at gmail.com. And I'd love for you guys actually to reach out and provide me with some advice on my next steps as I'm moving the bigger pieces. And for anyone else starting the journey as well, reach out to me. I can share like where I went to get a patent, you know, some of my mistakes, more of my mistakes, my wins, all of that stuff.
Absolutely. Oh, that's so great. We will also make sure we tag and put all that in the episode notes so that people can reach out. For everyone listening and watching, thank you for joining us. Again, this podcast is available on all your favorite podcast platforms. So give us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. Share this great content and help us build a more connected entrepreneurial community. Hello Chaos is one of the many resources brought to you by Orange Whip. That is Orange Whip, WIP for work in progress, because that's what we are. Orange Whip is a multimedia company dedicated to serving founders and entrepreneurs in affiliate cities. We're in 3 South Carolina markets today, looking to expand to other cities. Maybe we'll be up in Canada. We need to come to Canada. We've designed hyperlocal media platforms that can scale really quickly to go into any market. They're designed to inform, inspire, and be the independent connective tissue between founders and that local entrepreneurial ecosystem. From fresh and engaging stories, those local stories. We do curated calendars, so founders only have to go to one place to find all the networking and all the incubator, accelerator, grant deadlines, any events they need to be aware of in that local market. We also produce dynamic resource directory and roadmaps. So again, it's a one-stop place content hub for founders. We've done all that hard work. If you'd like to be a guest on our podcast or support us, send us an email to hello@orangewhip.com. And thank you for tuning in to Hello Chaos. It is where aha meets oh shit. And we'll see you again next week.